Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Interception by Fiona Davenport, narrated by Jamie Rennell and Marnie Young. Prologue. Nixon. "You owe me, little sister," I teased Naomi as I jogged over to her from where I'd parked my car. I'd somehow managed to find an open spot less than a block away. I took the box she was holding from her arms and nearly dropped it. Oof. It was damn heavy. Shit. Are there rocks in this thing? Naomi smiled and gave me her best, "I'm your baby sister, and you love me, so you'll do anything for me," expression. "You're about to start your rookie season for the Nighthawks. I figured you could use the extra workout." I grunted in response and carried the box into the dorm building. Luckily, Naomi's best friend was moving into one with an elevator near the entrance. I'd never met Ember because she'd moved to my hometown during Naomi's senior year, and I was busy at college. When I came home, I spent all my time with my family, or catching up with a few friends I'd kept in touch with after high school. Naomi wasn't sure what direction she wanted to go in her life yet, so she moved with me to New York City after graduation. She was going to handle my social media while she figured things out. And she was excited that she and Ember, who had been accepted to NYU, would still be close. Somehow, I got roped into helping this faceless friend move into her dorm. I stepped off the elevator on the third floor and ignored the stares from the female freshmen hanging around in the hallways and common area. Even though it was unlikely that any of them actually knew who I was used to the gawking. I was a defensive lineman, 6'5" and 260 pounds of pure muscle. Learning to ignore the jersey chasers wasn't hard, though. I'd never been into the casual thing. Besides, I was about to start my rookie season, and that had to be my sole focus. I didn't have time for a woman. "That one," Naomi said from beside me, pointing to the next open door on the right. I turned my feet to enter the suite's living area and stopped dead in my tracks. The first thing I saw was gorgeous red hair pulled back from an elven-shaped face with big emerald green eyes, a sprinkling of freckles over her nose, and lips meant for kissing. And sucking cock. My cock. I shook my head to clear away that unexpected thought, but I still couldn't tear my eyes away from the ginger beauty. She was on the shorter side, probably around 1.5 feet shorter than me, but she had curves in all the right places. A thin t-shirt clung to her generous tits, and the soft material rode up at the hem, showing a sliver of her pale, freckled stomach. Her purple shorts were a little small, in my opinion, but they showcased spectacular legs that would look amazing wrapped around my waist. "For fuck's sake, Scott, get your mind out of the gutter." Then she walked toward me. Her round, breeding hips swayed seductively as her tits bounced, straining against her top. That shirt would probably tear open if it tried to contain her breasts while she was pregnant or breastfeeding. What the actual fuck? I needed to have my head examined. Since when did I think about pregnant women and kids? Keeping my head in the game was my number one priority. "Let me take that from you." My knees nearly buckled at her slightly raspy, unbelievably sexy voice. My cock was hard as a fucking rock, and the only thing hiding it was the damn box. "Just tell me where to put it," I barked. I hadn't meant to sound so harsh, but I was fighting the urge to drop the box and back this girl up to the nearest wall for a hot fuck.
"Ignore him, Ember,"
Naomi sighed, before cuffing me on the back of the head. Fuck, fuck, fuck. This was my sister's best friend. I shouldn't be fantasizing about this girl, or any girl, right now, damn it. Naomi drew my attention again when she introduced us. "Nix, this is my bestie, Ember Walsh, and this burly grizzly bear is my brother Nixon." I grunted in response, and Ember frowned, planting her hands on her curvy hips.
"I'd say nice to meet you, but I'd be lying."
Naomi snorted, and I tossed her a glare. "However," Ember continued, tilting her head and studying me with narrowed eyes,
"since you did come to help me move, I'll pretend, anyway. You can put it right over there, thank you."
She pointed at an empty corner, and I stalked over there to set the box down. Then I quickly adjusted myself before turning around.
Ember and Naomi were whispering to each other, and then Ember laughed. The husky sound went straight to my cock. I practically jogged from the room to get another box, sucking in a huge breath of fresh air the second I was outside. I picked up a box labeled Delicates and groaned at the images flashing through my mind. It was light, so I grabbed another and headed back inside. "A fling with a hot football player would do you some good, Naomi," Ember was saying as I walked back into the room. I immediately dropped the boxes and glared at the girls. "First of all, my sister doesn't do that kind of thing." "Flings," Ember interrupted. "Sex." I practically choked on the word. "Second, even if she did," my stomach roiled at the idea of my sister doing that, "do that, flings are never a good idea. Girls are too emotional." Ember put her hands back on her hips and huffed. "Sometimes women need a little meaningless relief too, and a sexy football player is perfect for that kind of thing." "How would you know?" My tone was tight from trying to rein in the rage that burned in my gut at the thought of Ember with any man who wasn't me. I shoved that thought aside to examine later, or never. "Because I'm a woman." I raised an eyebrow. "And that makes you an expert on fucking football players?" Her eyes suddenly perused my body from top to bottom. Then she smirked. "Not all football players." I wasn't sure whether to be amused or insulted, since neither option would help the state of my mind, or my dick. I turned on my heel and went to grab more of her stuff. It took less than an hour to finish bringing Ember's belongings from the moving van into her dorm suite. "Let me take you both to dinner, to thank you," Ember offered, giving me a genuine smile. Spending any more time with her than necessary was dangerous. "Early practice," I muttered. It looked like hurt flashed in her green eyes for a moment, but then it was gone, so I thought maybe I had imagined it. "Your loss," she chirped. "See you later, Nix," my sister called before disappearing into Ember's bedroom. I nodded to her friend and turned to go, then paused and swung my head back around. "There are plenty of men out there who want more than just a fling." "How would you know?" she snipped haughtily, parroting my earlier phrase. "Because I'm a man." "Oh, does that mean you're looking for a relationship?" Ember asked, her tone and expression curious. I swallowed my instinctual response and grunted, "I don't have time for a woman or their drama, especially one who's young and inexperienced." With that parting shot, a low blow I immediately felt guilty about, I spun on my heel and beat a hasty retreat.
Chapter 1. Ember. Heading into Naomi and Prentice's kitchen for breakfast, I was happy that her brother had opted to head home instead of spending the night like I had. Then again, his bachelor pad was bound to be a lot more comfortable than my dorm room. I'd been instantly attracted to Nixon when we met, but he had made his disinterest in me clear, numerous times. Luckily, we hadn't seen each other often over the past 7 months, and I'd been able to mask how much I was into him on the rare times we bumped into each other, usually by pushing his buttons until we devolved into bickering. "Good morning," my best friend chirped, glancing over her shoulder at me. I padded over to her side to peer at the large, heavy skillet on the stove. When I realized what she was stirring with a wooden spoon, I did a little celebratory dance. "You're making your mom's famous sausage gravy for breakfast?" "Yeah. I've been craving biscuits and gravy, something fierce." Her hand dropped to her slightly rounded belly. "Prentice got them for me from like a dozen places during our honeymoon, but none of them were exactly what I wanted." "I'm not surprised. Nobody can top the unbeatable combo of your homemade biscuits and your mom's gravy recipe." I wandered over to the coffee machine and popped a hazelnut-flavored pod into the slot before grabbing a mug and sliding it under the spout. "But I'm surprised your hubby isn't down here making you something super healthy instead, or even trying his hand at biscuits and gravy, since you're too delicate to do any heavy lifting." She jerked her chin toward the skillet and grumbled, "You know Prentice too well. Before he left to meet up with some of the guys from the team for a workout, My overprotective husband took out everything I needed so I wouldn't strain myself. How much does that pan weigh? Well, my coffee brewed. I walked back over to her and tapped the handle of the skillet. It's not even the cast iron one. I know. She pointed at the cabinet to the left of the stove with a huff. He put it all the way on the top shelf so I couldn't reach it after he left because he said it was too heavy for me to use without him here. As if you couldn't move the skillet to the sink for me after we'd demolished the gravy. And it's not like it weighs anywhere close to the 20-pound limit my doctor gave me. She sounded so put out, I had to giggle. Cut the guy some slack. He's so crazy in love with you that he can't see straight. He really is, she sighed, her eyes turning dreamy as she rubbed her belly again. I didn't think it was possible to be this happy, but each day with Prentice just keeps getting better. You deserve every bit of the love and attention he lavishes on you. Naomi sniffled, and I flung my arm around her shoulders to pull her close. Her emotions had been all over the place lately due to the pregnancy. Just about anything could set her off. Come on. Being loved by your sexy hubby isn't anything to cry about. You're happily married to a star quarterback who's head over heels for you and carrying his baby. I know. She reached over to tear a paper towel from the roll and dabbed at her cheeks. But you're my best friend in the whole wide world, and I want you to have what I've found with Prentice. This again? I should have known she was going to take advantage of my concern for her to try to pressure me into going on the blind date she mentioned at dinner last night. Naomi wagged her finger at me. You already told me that I could set you up with Jordan. It's too late to back out now. I glanced at the clock on the stove. I said that what? A grand total of 12 hours ago. How could it already be too late for me to change my mind? She beamed a triumphant smile at me. Because I already called him last night, and he's one of the teammates Prentice is working out with this morning. Stomping over to the coffee machine, I muttered, I need caffeine to deal with you this morning. Come on, Ember. I mean it. You really can't leave Jordan hanging. Some lucky girl will snap him right up if you do. I'm sure you're right, I conceded, thinking about the picture of him that she'd shown me on her phone last night. The way she was talking him up had made Prentice even more growly, to the point where I couldn't help but wonder if I should be worried for Jordan's safety since they were working out together this morning. Hopefully, Prentice wasn't spotting him during bench presses or anything. The poor guy would end up choked by a weightlift bar or something. But I'm just not sure that he's the one for me. That's impossible. He's hot, nice, and a professional football player. What more do you want? She asked, bending over to pull a sheet of freshly baked biscuits out of the oven. Really great chemistry, I grumbled, thinking about Nixon. You'll never know if you're attracted to Jordan unless you go out with him, she argued. I guess you're right, but... She glared at me over her shoulder. Is this the part where you come up with some lame excuse for why you second-guessed your decision to let me fix you up with him? It wasn't as though I could tell her that the only reason I had reluctantly agreed to a blind date was because the only guy I had ever been interested in didn't want me. Naomi would want to know who he was, and I couldn't tell her that I'd been fantasizing about her brother ever since he helped move me into my dorm. She'd either be upset because he was off-limits since they were related, or even worse, she would decide that it would be perfect if we got together. Then she'd try to play matchmaker, and I'd have to endure the embarrassment of Nixon telling my best friend that I'm the last woman he'd ever consider dating. Naomi was my person. She was the first student I met during my first day of senior year at the new school, and we clicked right away. She totally got me. I wanted her to be a part of my life forever. No way could I let my unrequited feelings for her brother mess up our friendship. You're really not going to let me get out of this, are you? Nope. She let the P on the end pop as she shook her head, her lips curving into a smug grin as she realized I was going to cave. You're going to sit down with me and fill your belly with biscuits and gravy while Prentice makes the arrangements with Jordan. Since I know you don't have any set plans this week, I told him to set everything up for tonight. Tonight? I squeaked, my eyes widening. Mm-hmm. She ladled sausage gravy over biscuits before carrying the plates over to the table. I didn't want you to have any time to change your mind. And it's a good thing, considering you're already second-guessing your date with him. If I gave you any more time to think about it, you'd probably jump on a plane to go home just to get away from him. And me. I took a big sip of my coffee, hoping it would give me the energy to deal with my best friend and what she had planned for me tonight. I don't think I have anything I can even wear on a date. I can't even remember the last time I went out with a guy. Neither can I. Her head tilted to the side as she cut her meal into bite-sized pieces. I think the only time I've ever seen you with a boy was when we went on group outings that definitely didn't count as dates. Yeah, going to a movie with a bunch of us and having one of our friends' boyfriends bring his friends doesn't make it a date in any way, shape, or form. Realizing how long it had been since I'd been interested in anyone other than Nixon, my nose wrinkled. Oh, my gosh. How is it possible that the last time I kissed a boy, I was in middle school, and it was an innocent peck on the lips? Before shoving a fork full of food into her mouth, she let out a low whistle and murmured, "Girl, you really need to get out more." "I guess you're right." My shoulders slumped as I dug into the biscuits and gravy she'd served me. Although it was one of my favorite dishes, the food tasted like sawdust. I had to force myself to choke it down while Naomi chatted about the different outfits I could put together with the clothes already in my closet. When she decided we needed to go shopping for a sexy dress that would bring Jordan to his knees, I'd only made it halfway through my meal and decided I'd had enough. I was too nervous to eat. I just wished it was because I was excited about the date, instead of resigned to taking the first step in getting over Nixon.
Chapter 2. Nixon. "Damn, Nixon," Prentice said with a low whistle. "You gearing up for a fight with Hulk or something?" I tossed him an irritated frown as I jumped to my feet after doing 50 up-downs and 200 squats. Sweat was pouring off my body because I'd been pushing myself harder than usual. I grabbed a towel and wiped my forehead and around to the back of my neck, already contemplating what to do next to keep my mind occupied. Just felt like a hard workout today, I grumbled as I snatched a jump rope from a peg on the wall. That was mostly true. The reality was that I was on edge about my sister fixing Ember up on a date with one of my teammates. After spending the previous evening with her, I needed to work off all the repressed sexual energy. I certainly wasn't going to tell Prentice that. Starting out at a leisurely pace, I warmed up a bit before speeding up, then practiced my footwork as the rope whipped around me. "Hey, Jordan." I nearly tripped when Prentice greeted one of our offensive linemen, Jordan Stollard. He also happened to be the guy Naomi wanted to set up with my girl, Ember, which made him an asshole in my book. Somehow I kept my composure and continued to skip rope. "Prentice, how's it going?" he responded to my brother-in-law as they shook hands. "Can't complain. You need a spotter?" "No. I actually wanted to talk to you about your wife." My pace slowed slightly, and my head turned a couple of degrees so I could fully see their expressions. Prentice raised an eyebrow and folded his huge arms over his equally huge chest, his stare hard and focused. Jordan swallowed hard, but didn't otherwise let on how intimidated he was. Impressive, but still an asshole. "What about my wife?" "I wasn't sure if you knew, and I wanted to make sure you did, and that it wasn't anything you should be worried about. I figured it was better to make sure you heard it from me rather than the grapevine, and I didn't want you to be upset with your wife." Rambling. Less impressive. Still an asshole. Prentice's lips twitched, and I realized he was messing with our teammate. My pace dropped back to a leisurely pace, to rest. Not so I could hear their conversation better. "Spit it out, Jordan," the quarterback growled. Jordan didn't buckle, and I had to give him a little credit for that. Yeah, but he's still an asshole. "Your wife called me." Prentice was silent for so long I was worried he might have actually cracked Jordan,
but then he grinned and clapped the old lineman on the back. Yeah, I know. I'm just fucking with you. Jordan rolled his eyes and punched Prentice in the shoulder. You're an asshole. Takes one to know one. If it had been anyone but your wife, he muttered with a shake of his head. Prentice laughed. She called you about Ember, huh? She wants to set us up, he confirmed with a nod. Since she's friends with your wife, I'm assuming it's safe to say that this won't be something I deeply regret for the rest of my life. I stopped jumping altogether and busied myself by wiping down and taking a long drink from my water bottle. Ember's awesome, Prentice told him. You'll love her. Not if I have any fucking thing to say about it. The voice in my head was immediately confronted by another, asking what the fuck I intended to do about it, and if the answer was nothing, then to shut the fuck up. Have you ever been to Daniel? Whoa. Daniel was a Michelin-starred French restaurant on the Upper East Side. Jordan was pulling out the big guns to impress my... Ember. Do I really have to say it? Yeah. Still an asshole. No, Prentice answered. But I've heard it's amazing. In fact, Naomi will be jealous. She's been after me to take her there, but I wanted to check with her doctor about what she can eat off their menu beforehand. I choked back a laugh, earning myself a scowl from my brother-in-law. Nothing got my sister fired up faster than when her overprotective husband became overbearing and told her what she couldn't do or eat. Luckily, I was just the brother, so when the hormones kicked in and she started to cry, I made sure to be gone. Jordan looked back and forth between us curiously, but neither of us volunteered an explanation, so he returned to the topic of his blind date. I'll let you know how it is. I'm meeting her there at 7. He's not picking her up? Asshole. I wanted to pick her up, but she has class until just before our reservation. I gritted my teeth in frustration. Why did he have to be such a good guy? It would have been so much easier to stop the date by beating the shit out of him. Stop the date? Actually, I'm hoping if things go well tonight, she'll agree to be my date to the spring ball next month. My hands balled into fists at my side as I held in a growl. Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center held a fundraiser gala every year, and most of the team usually attended. I hated the idea of Ember dressing up for Jordan and spending the night on his arm, or worse, in them. But even more than that, Naomi once mentioned that Ember's little brother Dennis had died from cancer when he was 10. If anyone was going to take her to something so meaningful, it was damn well going to be me. Stop the date. Yeah, I was officially done with this bullshit. No more fighting myself, no more denying what I really wanted. It was time to go get my girl and make her mine. I wanted it all with her. Marriage, babies, grandkids, and growing old together. My intention had been to wait for Ember outside the entrance to Daniel, but then it occurred to me that she might make a bit of a scene. After all, we'd been at each other's throats since we met. It was bound to take a hell of a lot of convincing for her to agree to let me inside her tonight. I needed a quick getaway, and to catch her far enough from the restaurant to make sure Jordan never saw her coming. Something he would never, ever see. I wasn't sure if she'd walk down Park or Lex from the subway stop, so I double-parked in front of Mayfair House on Park, hoping the cops had already done their rounds in this area for a couple of hours. Then I walked around the corner to stand by the entrance to the restaurant. The outside seating was blocked from the sidewalk by tall, pink wooden walls, so I stepped into the shadows right inside, bumping into an empty table. The host was a young kid, and he waited expectantly for me to approach him. When he realized I wasn't coming in to eat, he lifted his chin haughtily and opened his mouth to say something. Before you speak and say something that will more than likely piss me off, how about I just pay you for a table, and you pretend I'm not here? The kid took a second to decide, but I could tell he was going to be difficult, so I stepped closer to the podium. When the lamp shined onto my face, his eyes went wide, and his jaw literally dropped. You're... Holy shit, you're Nixon Scott! Keep your voice down, I growled. I didn't need him bringing my celebrity status to the attention of the other patrons. That would blow any chance I had at going unrecognized. I'm Kirk, the host introduced himself. He bent down and retrieved a menu from beneath the podium and handed it to me with a pen. If you sign this, you can hang out for however long you want. Being a famous football player had its perks, and while they sometimes came in very handy, I didn't abuse them. So I happily signed the menu, then handed the kid a wad of cash. "For dinner," I told him. He sputtered and tried to hand the money back, but I'd already walked over to the table closest to the sidewalk and leaned against it.
Chapter 3. Ember. I probably should have just grabbed a rideshare to the Upper East Side. The traffic tended to be a beast, so taking the 6 train saved me some time. However, I hadn't considered the fact that I was usually dressed like a college student in yoga pants and a baggy sweatshirt, with my hair pulled into a ponytail when I took the subway. Wearing a tight dress and heels, with my hair and makeup done up for a date, was a different, and not entirely comfortable, experience. Something I should have realized when a few people in my study group asked me why I was so dressed up, while one of the guys kept giving me weird looks. At least the ride was making me anticipate my blind date a little more. I couldn't wait to get off the train and meet up with Jordan at the restaurant he'd picked for dinner. Prentice's teammate had obviously been looking forward to tonight because he'd somehow gotten us a last-minute reservation at Daniel. It was a good thing Naomi had talked me into buying this dress. Otherwise, I wouldn't have had anything appropriate to wear to the Michelin-starred French restaurant that was known as a place to go to see and be seen. Eating there was way out of my league, but professional football players had a much different lifestyle than poor college students. I had gotten used to seeing Prentice drop money on my best friend like it was no big deal, but I hadn't expected Jordan to spend that kind of cash on our first date. His restaurant choice seemed like overkill for a girl he didn't know. I was hoping that it was a favorite of his and not a sign of how he hoped the night would go, because I still wasn't sure if meeting him for dinner was a good idea, when I had feelings for his teammate instead. But it was too late to back out now, and doing so would have Naomi asking questions I didn't want to answer. Focusing on the delicious food I was about to eat tonight, I stepped off the train and made my way out of the station. In an attempt to get psyched up for my date, I pulled up the restaurant's menu online, and as I read it, my taste buds salivated over the Wagyu beef strip loin and pretty much all of the desserts. During the few minutes it took me to walk an avenue block on East 68th and 3 blocks down Park Ave, I mentally debated between the milk and dark chocolate options. I had just decided on the milk chocolate dessert as I crossed over 65th when someone rushed toward me from the Mayfair House's restaurant entrance. When I recognized the tall, muscular body stalking toward me, I took a step back and almost stumbled off the curb. Pressing my hand against my chest, I gasped, "What in the heck are you doing here, Nixon? You scared the crap out of me." "I can't let you go on your date." My heart was already racing, and his answer only made it speed up more. With his brown hair, dark blue eyes, and chiseled jaw, Naomi's brother was hot enough to make me seriously consider throwing myself at him. No questions asked. But this man had given me no indication that he was even the slightest bit interested in me since we'd met, and I would have noticed because I've been looking for them. He owed me some answers for showing up here like this after all the times he'd made me feel as though he would never be interested in someone like me. Planting my hands on my hips, I asked, "Why can't I go into that amazing restaurant to have the date your sister set up with the very eligible bachelor who might actually be into me?" Nixon's nostrils flared as he wrapped his fingers around my wrist to drag me up the sidewalk and around the corner of the building. Then he backed me up against the stone building and pressed his hands on either side of my head, leaning close.
"I think it'll be better if I show you instead."
My lips parted of their own volition, as though they knew he was going to bend his head to kiss me before my brain caught up with what was happening. When he pressed his mouth against mine, I felt a bolt of electricity shoot straight to my core. It was almost impossible to believe that the man I had a bajillion fantasies about was actually kissing me, which was why I forced myself to press my palms against his chest before I lost all sense of reason. "What do you think you're doing?" I hissed, after his head lifted.
"Kissing you?"
His gaze dropped to my lips.
"And I plan on doing it a fuck of a lot more."
I blinked a few times as I tried to understand what had brought on this complete 180 from him. "Am I
some weird reality television show right now? Are there cameras filming the cruel prank you're pulling on me? I'm not playing around, sweetheart.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?